from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
So, okay, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing it. 4 o'clock here on the Fan. 4 o'clock here on the Fan. Evan and Tiki, Loogie and Lightning. Loogie, Tommy Lugaro, Tiki Barber, Evan and Tiki. Hello, SNY. If you're just joining us, I say the Mets will be playing baseball in October. We talked about Jalen Brunson being named the captain of the Knicks. I have in front of me a Yankee fans flow chart that I took, 3 seconds to put together before the show. I will get to that in just one sec. And of course, I started my assault on Christmas. And the reason I did that is because there is Halloween stuff in the stores and have been there for weeks. And Thanksgiving continues to be an only middle child. Christmas gets now 6 months of hype. Halloween, we're already seeing stuff in the stores in July. Thanksgiving doesn't even get the Thanksgiving Day parade because that fat, selfish pig, Santa Claus, is at the end of it. And not only that, I got to see Mariah Carey now 90 minutes into it. They basically turned it into the Christmas parade. And I love Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I follow Santa on Instagram. Love all jolly old Saint Nick. Got no issue with him as far as the guy. Brings a lot of great cheer to kids all around the world, adults, the whole deal. But he gets enough time in the sun. He's a glory hound. So Thanksgiving deserves more time. And here on Evan and Tiki, we haven't put all the particulars yet.
Why are you so upset about this?
Because you know what? Somebody needs to be out there defending something like Thanksgiving because it's a great holiday. It's family.
Of
it's football.
It's
food.
Is.
But it gets no love, Teek.
It does get love.
It gets zero love.
It gets
love.
Private love. That's the reality
it needs
of it.
Public.
I'm going to twist this for you. The reason that Thanksgiving is so special is because you're not sharing it with everybody. How many social media posts do you see sitting at Thanksgiving dinner? Not a lot.
Not many.
You're just kind of eating. You're with your friends, your family, because it could be Friendsgiving as well as Thanksgiving with family and everything else.
Sure.
And you just
got to
hang out. You throw the game on if you care about those type of things. You have way too many bottles of wine if you're in a barber household. You have some martinis as well. And, you just chill. It's easy. It's not commercialized. It kind of feels, dare I say, pure. And you're thankful for the purity of it. So, yes, leave Thanksgiving out of the smorgasbord of holidays that everything has become.
But I still think it deserves its day.
It does.
It doesn't get
its day.
No, because everybody...
It's just privately consumed.
Evan Roberts put his Christmas tree up Thanksgiving morning. I'm sorry. It doesn't get its day. And there's other maniacs and dopes that do it earlier than that in November. And if you've noticed, year after year, it used to be day after Thanksgiving, you start hearing the Christmas music, you start seeing the trees, you start seeing all the hoopla and the malls, the whole deal. If you've noticed, every year it gets earlier and earlier and earlier, and I'm telling you, we're going to have 12 months of Christmas before it's all said and done. And you're starting to see it with Halloween too, which also gets a lot of time. You get 30 days or however many days are friggin' October. Every night there's a scary movie. About 4 weekends they celebrate. There's Halloween parties. There's people trick-or-treating all day, every day. And now you're starting to see stuff in early July. So Thanksgiving doesn't even get its own day. Halloween gets 6 months. Christmas gets 12 months. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous, and Thanksgiving deserves more love, and I intend to do that. I intend to be that guy. Now, I'm holding something in my hand here. No, well, I should probably clarify that. I'm holding a sheet of paper in my hand here.
Luckily, those on television knew that you were just holding a sheet of paper, but those on radio, it's a sheet of paper.
It's a family show, yes. I'm holding a sheet of paper here. I put together, Tiki, because we haven't spent a lot of time on them today, and if you're just tuning in, no Yankee game. tonight because of all the rain. There will be a traditional doubleheader tomorrow. First game, 4:05. Obviously, you could hear that right here on the Fan. But I put together a Yankee fans flowchart. Now, I've discussed this at times on the air, but for the new audience here, I am in a group chat with all Yankee fans. It's my own personal living hell. And it's people in the business that you've heard of, John Dostremski, Chris Lopresti, our very own Sean Marash, and a few other Yankee fans. So I feel like I always have the great temperature of the Yankee fans because we are technically behind closed doors in a group chat. So everybody just lets it rip. So I have a feel of what Yankee fans go through, specifically in the Aaron Boone era. And I think you can break it down by month, year in and year out, what Yankee fans go through. All right, so we're going to start with April. In April, this is how Yankee fans feel. We didn't do enough in the offseason. Why did we run this team back? That's how they feel every single April.
Same conversation every April. Yep.
Then we get to May, and Yankee fans go, this team is going to win the World Series, right? Okay. Then we move on to June. Summer starts to get hotter. Yankee fans want to fire Aaron Boone. Then we get to July. They want to fire Brian Cashman. And we know Yankee fans versus Brian Cashman is Peter Griffin versus the chicken on Family Guy. It's just never-ending battle. So that's July. August, this team is back. We are winning the World Series. Sound familiar if you're listening to fans here in August, Yankee fans? September, it's this team won't beat the Astros. In October, it's you lost to the Astros. Now, other than to get a few cheap laughs here, the reason I put this together is because...
It's so accurate.
Every year.
And so far this year, it's dead on.
Has it not been?
It's absolutely dead on.
So that's what it's leading me to, Teague. This year, something needs to change. Because I think this is the best Yankee team that Aaron Judge has been on. And at some point... Now, look. The failures in October are not all on Aaron Judge. Are some of it? Absolutely. Has he come up in the big spot and delivered every single time?
No, he has not.
Now, has he had guys in the lineup that aren't good protecting him, whether it be a Donaldson or a Gallo or you name it? Yeah. But now he's got Jazz. He's got Soto. He's got the best team. And he being Aaron Judge, is having a ridiculous season. He could win the quadruple crown if you count OPS. So... this season, now he's in his early 30s, he's not getting any younger. To me, we don't know what Juan Soto's future is going to be. This is on Aaron Judge to bring it home. Houston's down a little bit. I still think they're your final boss. But this is on Aaron Judge. When you play for the Yankees, Steve, you got to win.
Well, I mean, if you want to be legendary, if you want to be remembered for all time, and Aaron Judge likely because of the era that we live in and that he's playing in right now will likely be remembered no matter what. Simply because, Aaron Judge was amazing. But if you want to be iconic in baseball, especially with the Yankees, you got to win a championship.
Yep.
To be in that conversation with all of those greats that preceded him, you got to win a championship. I think he knows that. I think the Yankees organization is aware of that. Because as much as we want to talk about that being positive for the legacy, it's also hugely positive for the bottom line. Meaning the financial benefit if Aaron Judge and this Yankee team or a team that Aaron Judge is on wins a championship. I mean, forget it. Talk about statues. I mean, it'll be amazing, especially if he's a big contributor to that. And forget if he wins multiple of them. So it's interesting because he's having this unbelievable year. I mean, every time I see him do what he does, smashes a home run, his 41st a couple of nights ago, it gives me the same emotion every time. Dude is the best player I've ever seen. And I know that Evan wants to throw out Albert Pujols as one of the great players.
Sure, even just Ohtani right now, especially when he's pitching.
Yeah, of course. But, I wasn't watching baseball like I was watching baseball now. My fandom wasn't mature like it was when Pujols was at the beginning. I was coming out of my football career and I was getting involved in all these other things. I'm talking about for me. And I think this is right for a generation that's behind me because they didn't see all these guys. Aaron Judge is the best player you've ever seen. And he does it every single night. And the way that he caps it is by winning. And so there's pressure on him right now. And you may not be seeing it because we're still in the regular season. But once we get to the second season and get to the postseason with the Yankee team, the pressure is going to be real. Because Aaron Judge, failure can't be an option anymore.
Not when you have Juan Soto with you now.
It can't be Oh, well, we'll get them next year. How many? You can't say that.
You're going to start running out of next year's.
Right. Exactly. You're not out of them yet, but you probably only got four or five of them left.
I agree.
And that's not a lot.
Nope.
Considering, you know, how long he's been good here in New York.
At this level, too. And I think about Yankees, obviously, if you want to be with Ruth and Gehrig and Mantle and Jeter, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on, or even just other athletes in this town that never won. Patrick Ewing is one of the greatest basketball players in the history of the NBA.
Right.
But he didn't win. And his entire legacy is sort of shaped by that, where Patrick didn't win. He was supposed to bring a championship. He didn't win. He didn't win. And if Aaron Judge doesn't win, as great as he'll be, he'll have multiple MVPs, the insane numbers. He'll break records, Yankee records, baseball records. But if you don't win, and he gets to the end of his career, the way Yankee fans view him, especially because think about the drought that'll be there.
Yeah.
And for Yankee fans' standards, which is already at this point, they haven't won in, you know, they haven't won forever, and it feels even longer when you talk about standards of the franchise, his legacy will be shaped differently if he doesn't win. He's got to win. Well, I can't even talk multiple because you got to get the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is his best chance as far as being at the level he's at right
Meaning
now.
Meaning this team?
This team, guys around him, when you have guys like Soto and Jazz and even the young guys like Wells and Rice and Volpe, when you have that type of lineup and that type of team, and I'm telling you right now, the Yankees are going to go on a run here. The schedule in August is really, really, really easy.
Softens.
They are going to get fat here in August. They are going to be in first place come September. The Astros are down a little bit. This is baseball. We talked about the Phillies struggling, the Dodgers. This is Aaron Judge's best path, and he's got to get it done. He's got to get it done in October because he's gotten a pass. He has. He's gotten a pass. He never gets criticized. This guy's in his early 30s. He's the best player in the Yankees, and he hasn't won. Name me one other Yankee that would be in that spot. You can't name one. You can't. So he's gotten a pass, but that's only going to take you so far. And we talked about Brunson earlier. By the way, same thing. And I love Jalen Brunson, and right now he has 100% approval rating. If he doesn't win in 4 or 5 years, that's going to change, much like it did with Patrick or David Wright, whoever. So it is on Aaron Judge. Got to get home here because he's running. I think he's gonna be like 33. He doesn't have that many more years, and he's in the prime, and he's playing with a guy like Juan Soto. Perhaps only time he's gonna be playing with him here.
Yeah,
this is the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean it is, and it feels like the team is in the right spot. But again, we have no idea until the postseason comes. I almost can't even predict postseason baseball anymore. Because you have all these expectations based on what you see in the regular season, then you realize it doesn't mean the damn thing. It doesn't matter. It's who's hottest, who's healthiest, and who's hottest at the postseason. That's what matters anymore. And I mean, I won't forget like 2 years ago when the Mets were 101 win team, all Joe Beningo wanted to talk about, and Joe was right because his history proved him correct. Win the division. You got to win the division. You got to win the division. The most important thing is winning the division. It protects you. It gives you, keeps you out of that wild card. Win the division. Win the division. Win the division. They lose the division to the Braves because they fought for it all the way down to the last game of the season. In fact, I was at that game in Atlanta because I was calling the Falcons game.
That's right.
Right? So I see them. I see Scherzer crap the bed and DeGrom trying to just throw 100-mile-an-hour fastballs over and over and over again. They lose that series. They end up losing the division.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, Joe's probably right. They're probably not going anywhere. They get knocked out, and then the Braves get knocked out. And who comes back and gets into the World Series is the Phillies, who got healthy and hot at the right time.
Yeah, and
it's been that way.
Even with the Diamondbacks last year. Yeah, no, and I understand that, but at some point here, Aaron Judge and this Yankee team, but specifically Judge, has to win. And in my estimation, this is the best team he's been on. This is his best chance.
There's no doubt about it, but there's nothing that he could do about it right now. The only
thing
he
can do... When they get there, though.
True, but all he can do right now is be a masher. Be amazing. Be great. Be awe-inspiring every single time he comes up to the plate or has an opportunity to knock runs in. Because, look, some of these times he's not going to get pitched to. We know this. Right, he's going to get walked.
He's getting the Bonds treatment.
And it's not as prolific as the Bonds treatment was, where it was you're getting one pitch every three or four at bats. Sometimes, for some reason, people decide to pitch to him, and he punishes them. But at some point, he's got to prove it in the postseason. But it's not right now. All he can do right now is just be great.
So I'm glad you brought up the intentional walk stuff because I had this wacky idea, and this might be better suited. Maybe I'll text Evan this because he would love this. I want to propose a new rule in baseball, and it's a new intentional walk rule because we saw it with Bonds. Now you're seeing it with Judge. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that like the fans get chipped and all that, but they do in a lot of ways. I remember being at Yankee Stadium or being at the games here and Judge gets walked and the fans are booing because they want to see the guy take swings. Like, what other sport can you take the best player out of it? Other than the fact that if you have a great corner and he takes a wide receiver out of it, but that's the sport.
Yeah, that's competition.
Right. That, walking a guy is kind of lame, especially intentionally.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's taking...
I mean, the only good thing about it is that if they don't do it intentionally and they don't try to cheap it, that it actually it drives up your pinch count a little bit.
Yeah, it's unintentionally.
But not really, because I mean, what are you? You're not throwing 98 mile an hour fastballs to walk them.
No, you know what I mean. Yeah, you're basically lobbing it up there. So my rule would be, if a player, an individual player, is an intentionally walk, you could set the number at 5. I have to look at the numbers. If it's 10, if a guy gets to 10, so if Aaron Judge has been intentionally walked 10 times in a season, the next time he's intentionally walked, he gets to go to second base automatically. He gets to go to second base because you could just, in theory, never pitch to this guy. And we thought, why would anybody do it at this point? Just put him on base every single time. So if you're going to intentionally walk him and you reach that limit of 10, then he gets to go to second base. Well, obviously, if it's bases loaded, everybody gets to move around and around and around.
Yeah, but that punishes teams down the line in the schedule. You know what?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I mean, so if you're later on, you play them later on, say the Brewers. They play the Brewers earlier in the season. They can walk them every time. And then all of a sudden, every team after the Brewers, they get penalized.
It is what it is. Sometimes it's where you are in the schedule. So you're right. The Brewers could be pigs. They can walk them a million times. And then whoever gets stuck with it. But I'm trying to protect the player and the fans and the integrity of the game, because we haven't seen it a lot. And that's why this rule to me obviously sounds a little bit crazy, because we really only have seen it with like Bonds. Now you're seeing it with Judge. I'm sure Otani has dealt with it a little bit too. But you're talking about a guy that there's no reason to pitch to him. If you're going to just keep intentionally walking him, obviously this won't happen in October that often, because you got it. You know, each at bat matters, so you can't do it as much. But I would penalize teams if Judge gets the 10 on the season, the 11th one, he gets to take second base. Because at some point here, you gotta, it's like the pitch clock. It's like other rules that they've set in place, because the pitch clock to me has been amazing, because guys are basically, you know, scratching their ass and they're doing all this stuff, and it takes an hour to get an at bat in. It was hurting the integrity of the game. And I think in some ways this intentional walk stuff is hurting the integrity of the game. So that's why I would implement that. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Johnny's in Staten Island. What's up, John?
Yeah, you know who didn't walk, Judge? Aikman, baby. Strike three.
Yes, Aaron Judge was like all of us. He was watching the Subway Series.
Poor Jake.
Well, anyway. You know what, though? Here's what I would say, John. Yes, his career with the Mets, obviously, he got released. But he will be a trivia question for years to come. He had a moment. He had a big moment. Like the fact that the Mets swept the Yankees. Remember, they swept them. Mets 4, Yankees 0. Jake Deacon struck Aaron Judge out looking. That's a huge spot in his career. Not many guys are going to be able to tell their kids that they did that.
Tommy.
Yeah.
If you would have told me at 0-5, and I'm sure you're the same, and 22-33, that we'd be sitting here right now at this spot, I'm happy. That being said, listen, it's right there for the taking. I mean, these other teams don't seem like they ever lose, but they got to lose sooner or later. I'm talking Padres, D-backs.
Yes.
I mean, these teams are pulling games out of there, you know what.
Yeah, it's the ebb and flow of the baseball season. Teams get hot, they get cold, they get hot, they get cold.
I mean, I don't know who these Mets fans are calling up. They must be Yankee fans pretending to knock at Lindor, knock at Pete, because some nerdy reporter's asking them stupid questions. But I tell you right now, let's start it tonight. This team sucks, all right?
Being the Rockies. The Rockies suck. Yeah. The Rockies.
Not 2 out of 3. 3 out of 3.
No, I like the positive attitude, and if you would have asked negative Tommy at the start of the season, I would have said the Mets would have lost 100 games. But, of course, I transformed into positive Tommy, so I knew they would be here. And I just think a lot of Met fans, and that's why I've become positive Tommy, is to preach the power of positivity, because there are a lot of negative Met fans. There were so many fans over the weekend that thought the season was over. Even off a win, we got people bashing Lindor. We got people bashing Alonso. There's a lot of negativity
I don't think it's negativity. I think they just want the Mets at this point to win the games they're supposed to win. That's really what it comes down to. Win the games you're supposed to win. Now, it's baseball, so anything can happen, and that's what you got to chalk it up to. Meaning the Angels series.
Yeah.
That's what you chalk it up to. It's baseball. You don't chalk it up to this team is not good anymore.
No, it's a long season, sometimes too long, especially for Loogie and Tiki. I mean, my goodness, can we cut the season down a little bit here? Jeez Louise. We're not all like Evan where we're on vacation and he's recording a Rico Bronya. I got to call the guy out. I'm sitting there.
What is Rico Bronya about? Like, honestly, what is it about?
In general or
no,
just like...
No. I know in general. Why is he recording one on vacation? Like, what is so important that he needed, just talking about Evan, that he needed to record something?
I'm a loser.
Well, that, and also the fact that each series he does a Rico. Now, he'll do like breaking news Ricos or, hey, we got to put a fire
so
out.
It's a post-Angels series.
No, it's
recap.
A post-Cardinals for the one game. Yeah. Translation, he's bored. He hates his family. I'm just kidding.
This is the Rico Brogna podcast.
He loves his family.
But... is raining down there because I know... Florida got a ton of rain.
You know, you're down there with the missus. There's activities you could do inside, and the kids go to bed early.
Yeah, but
this guy's up with Pete Hoffman at midnight doing a Rico.
But if it's raining, everybody's inside all day, and you kind of just, you're not worn out. You're not going to bed early. You know, maybe there isn't time.
You go a little stir crazy. You're inside Hurricane Debbie.
You know,
its ugly head.
He's not being held captive for 100 years. The guy just on vacation for 3 days. He can't unplug. And I understand. He says it, and I respect this. He can't unplug for the Mets. I'm not asking him to unplug from the Mets. I'm not. What I'm asking is that, is he here right now hosting the show? No. It's Loogie. It's Tiki. Give Pete Hoffman the Rico. Let Pete do it. He hosts a show here. He's capable of speaking. Let him do the Rico Bronya. You're like Santa Claus, Evan. You're a selfish pig. You need the limelight. And I think Evan just likes to give his opinions. Believe me, I know off air. He's got to tell me about everything. And I'm like, yeah, great, whatever. And I sort of have one ear out the other. But it's like, dude, you don't need to do a Rico last night. And if you want to service the Rico Bronya audience, I'm okay with that.
Let Hoffman do it.
Yeah, they know Pete.
Of course.
Like we are here.
He's here all the time.
That's what I mean. And he talks on every single show. Let Pete Hoffman do the Rico Bronya. The idea that Evan did the Rico last night.
The question is, could Hoff put together the Rico Bronya?
He can, because I've done the Rico at Hoff when Evan's been gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've done a spot, like, show here or there. Ah. I'm pretty sure Hoff's done some solo stuff. So I don't know what the hell's going on with Evan right now.
I did one Rico last year with Hoff.
Lowest rated Rico.
It was. It probably was.
It got 3 downloads, and they're all family members of Hoff and Rosie.
I feel some type of way. I never got to do a Rico now.
So, you should do one, Zoo, but here's the problem.
I don't think I ever will be able
to. Well, because he won't give up the spot.
Yes.
So
he's a spot junkie right now.
Well, because this
gotten so easy to do it from wherever the hell you are.
Right.
Honestly.
But this business is about giving other people opportunities. Mm. It's one day.
But not the Rico.
But you're on vacation. I think the loyal Rico fans get it. That he can spend some time with his family.
But the Rico feels like it's his baby.
But if something
That's
crazy...
like giving over his baby.
I know, but if something really ridiculous happened, fine. Do the Rico, we want to hear from Evan. I don't think last night you needed to hear necessarily from Evan. You want to hear from Met fans.
After the one-game series against the Cardinals.
How could you... Yeah, exactly. The season series versus the Cardinals ended, Tommy. Come on. That's when you need to hear from Evan the most.
Alonso down to the fifth position, first time since 2020.
If you want
to
do this game, you can find
all
the
reasons. There's a lot to talk about.
In theory, there was a lot to talk about.
Tyrone Taylor in the number 2 spot.
Right, Tyrone Taylor's there.
I mean, Mendy might be the manager of the year after yesterday.
But all things that Pete Hoffman could have done... Pat Murphy, and you could have had maybe even a fan come in and do it. My point is this, and I love Evan. I'm just having a little fun with him. The idea that you can't unplug, just go on vacation and let Hoff do the Rico. Meanwhile, Hoff, and he had his son here today, Tony Hoffman. He's got 12 kids, this guy. He's got a dog. Can you give him a break? They do Ricos all year. Can you give Pete Hoffman a break? And if you're going to make him do it here, let him get the big chair and host.
All right, let him actually get some... airtime.
Right.
Not some I need to take a breath and drink some water airtime, but like actual airtime.
Exactly.
Because that's when Hoff talks, when Evan's got to take a breath.
When Evan can't find the word to say and he's stumbling and mumbling for the word, then Hoff comes in with this crazy like trade proposal, how the Mets are going to get Jose Altuve.
Yeah, when Evan's getting the horn blown at him at the Van Wyck, getting off, you know, getting out of Citi Field, that's when Hoff jumps
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
He's getting pulled over.
Yes.
Hoffman, take over for five.
No, totally. So I'm cool with it, and Evan is, don't get me wrong, and I think upper management told Evan and his wife, Evan works too hard. Works too hard! He works too hard! And because you know why it's not work for him? He loves it. This is not work for him. This is
But you still got to disconnect. But I am a clown.
Well, let me ask you this, Teak. And I think you're the wrong person to ask for this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Was there any point when you stopped playing football, you play football your entire life, that you felt like on a Sunday you're like, why am I not putting the pads on? Why am I not playing football?
Without
is it a
doubt.
Feeling of like...
You just, it's habit. It's it becomes habit.
He's been on the radio since he's like, what, 14? So, I mean, he just doesn't know how to break the habit of talking.
You're joking, but I think it was actually 17.
Yeah. No, he started in Baltimore. Serious.
You're right.
Steve Summers had a great line. If I botch this, I apologize, Steve. You know I love you, the schmoozer. When he retired, and now he's back, he's doing some spot shows here and there on the weekends. He did the, I won't do a Summers impression, but he goes, well, maybe I will. He goes, how do you retire from talking? You die. So, I mean, like when you get paid to talk, that's why I think a lot of people in this business.
It's like having sex.
Am I? That's why a lot of people in this business don't retire, because it's fun and you're talking. But so how do you retire from talking? You drop dead. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know, like, why he can't unplug or just let Hoff do to Rico. That's all. I'm sure it was a fine.
Because it's the only thing he's ever done. That's why.
Yeah.
It's all he's ever done.
Yes.
Is talk.
I know. And give opinions
and
on
give
stuff.
And give opinions on
the
stuff.
Mets.
Narrated
on
by
everything
me,
else.
Evan Roberts.
And of course, you can buy Evan after I trash you. And I'm sure it'll just get back to him that I trashed him. I'm going for a spot. You know, I stab him in the back. But you're welcome, Evan. Why does it got tags on it? Buy Mets Bible. Amazon. You can order it. There's an audio book. It makes great for, I know, Father's Day pass, but any holiday.
Narrated. Yeah, right. Narrated by Evan, by
that's
the way.
Right.
So Tommy, there you go with the holidays, Tommy's... though, bro. You're talking about Father's Day. We're not even at Christmas
I know.
Yet, man.
I fell into the
I need
trap.
Christmas gifts.
Well, I'm hawking books here. I'm trying to make money
Father's
for
Father's Day already happened. I mean, that's like a long time from now.
Opening day. There's got to be something coming up.
And next Father's Day is around the corner, Teak.
A playoff gift for your Met fan. Get My Mets Bible.
There you go.
On sale now. Amazon.
Stop doing the Rico, dude. All right. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. All right. 434 here on the Fan in New York City. Loogie and Lightning here on the Evan and Tiki Show. Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber. So, of course, the Olympics are going on right now in Paris, or as rich people like Tiki call it, Paris. And we got the Olympics on right now. We're watching
Paris. I need to go get my pied-à-terre.
In Paris, or Ratatouille, which is one of my favorite movies. He just wanted to be a chef. I know he's a rat, but the guy just wanted to be a chef. He's a good cook, and I'm glad he lived out his dream, right. And he served a great Ratatouille.
I just got to apologize to everybody, because we were watching basketball. They were getting destroyed. Or not, they were getting destroyed. The U.S. was destroying Brazil.
Yeah, right.
I think they were up by 27 at halftime. So I flipped the channel and completely distracted Tommy. Completely.
I cannot focus. There's a lot going on right now. And then also, in addition to this, and then he puts on, you know, beach volleyball, women's, and I literally can't focus. So I'm trying to focus. I can't stop watching it, especially right this second. But I'm going to do my best here to refocus and get the show back on track as I continue to watch it and fill time. Now, so I brought this up, not just because I'm watching it right now, but there's this viral video going on right now, Tegan. I don't know if you saw this, but it's a bunch of, like, we watch the Olympics, right? And we say, man, these are the best athletes in the world. They're not like us. They're these top athletes. But then you come to find out that Olympians are just like me, just like everybody out there. There is a viral video going out there right now where Olympians are owning up to the fact that they go number one in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
I
think we stopped doing that in the pool at a certain age, and you maybe do it in the ocean.
Clearly,
not in the pool.
Clearly, you've never been to a Vegas pool party. No, or Secrets in Ocean City, Maryland. No, but there's people that. So
note
if you're
to
in,
self, do not ever go to either.
No, they're great. Please go to both. But they. So whether you're in the ocean, whether you're in the pool, I have never done it, but I'm sure you've all been there where you know you got to go number one, and you have nowhere to go, and you do it, but. The fact that these Olympians are also doing it in the pool, I just never understood it. To me, it's like, I get it, but go find a bathroom somewhere.
But it's probably hard to find a bathroom, especially
if, lazy.
Especially if you have a race coming up, if you have, I don't know, training that you have to get in, and your coach is a hard ass just grinding on you and like, get in the pool. Get your ass in the pool right now.
Yeah.
And so you got to get in the pool. And you got to go. You're just swimming. You just kind of let it go.
All right. So how about the regular schlub? I'm going to put you on the spot here, Teak. Has your wife ever, to your knowledge, done this in the pool?
My wife? Or in
the ocean?
I don't know.
Never shared that type of thing?
Well, first of all, she doesn't get in our pool.
Excuse me?
She just never gets in the pool.
Well, hold on. So you, I'll make an assumption. In-ground, I assume?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
So you have a nice in-ground pool.
Uh-huh.
It's hot. The whole reason you have a pool.
We were out there 2 days ago. It was sweltering.
It was so bad over the weekend. Friday was awful.
Right. It was Sunday. So 2 days, whatever that was, 3 days
ago. A couple days ago, yeah.
Right? Sweltering outside. I never get in the pool either. I swim after I run, but I went and got in the pool just to sit in there and just cool off. And it was amazing.
And that's why you have a pool.
It was fine having a cocktail underneath the awning.
So I get the sunbathing, I get the barbecue. Uh-huh. But you're telling me your wife never goes in your indoor pool? Or in ground, I should say?
Never goes.
I keep saying indoor, in ground.
No, never goes in the pool.
I
honestly can't remember her swimming. Now, we've been at people's houses and she's gone in the pool. Like, if we go to our friend's house in the Hamptons, she'll get in the pool.
Because she wants to be nice. She feels like it's like almost like disrespectful.
No,
you're in the Hamptons.
Just like, have you seen those videos of the black people frolicking? Have any of you guys seen that? You guys don't get served them because you're not black. It's like these.
I'll let you handle this.
These are black guys frolicking, and they're like, "Look, we're frolicking," and it's all kinds of dudes. Dude with tats, dude with dreads, just it's a nerdy black dude. Just dudes like we're. Y'all didn't tell us about frolicking. It's amazing. So, anyways, I'm distracted. But anyways, Tracy likes to frolic with our friends in the pool.
Sounds good to me. I'm all for frolicking. I'm all for watching people frolic. But
now that's gonna pop up on your social feeds now,
dude.
Just because I said it, it's gonna pop up on your social.
Tommy's about to have a whole new Twitter feed after that, man.
My mind is all over the place right now. I'm trying to zero back in. But back to the number one in the pool. So I know a lot of people do this, whether it's the ocean, whether it's pool. I find it to be untoward. And I get like...
In the ocean? Who cares?
How about the other 6,000 people that are in the ocean with you?
Okay, it's...
Bro, this ocean is gross. Man.
Gross. Animals are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's their house.
I mean, yeah, exactly. You're going in an animal's house where they're doing everything. I mean, we're talking about everything.
Yeah, they're getting out of business.
Right.
I understand
Not
that.
Just one. They're two in there, too.
And there's whales.
It also helps for, like, jellyfish bites and stings.
Yeah, we've all seen Friends. If it comes down to having to do that for your friend on the leg, I would do it. And I would want somebody to do it to me. I'm just talking about the lazy people that go to Jones Beach or Tobe or wherever the hell, the Jersey Shore, and instead of just taking a couple minutes to go to number one, they got to go do their business in the water.
It could be a hike to the bathroom. Could be a line. You got to walk into a freezing, like, establishment.
Have we lost all societal rules? Oh, is this anarchy?
I mean, there's a really good question that did come up here. I mean, you were talking about if your loved one, you know, got a jellyfish sting.
Sting or bite, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, would you pee on it for him?
Well, thanks.
Now, if you and Rosie were stuck, you know, in a remote location, just you two.
Okay.
You get stung by a jellyfish.
Mm.
You going to let Rosie take care of business for
you? Yes. Is it life or death? I mean, yeah. All right, you got to do what you got to do. Now, would I tell anybody about it? Probably not. I don't
think it's
going to
save your life.
Well,
it might limit
I'm a baby, dude. I need help. And if I feel like I need that help, yeah, I need to do that. There was this... Let me see. Yeah, I think I can say this on there. So there's a... I forgot which city slickers. The second city slickers. Are you guys familiar with that? With Billy Crystal?
I don't know if I saw this.
Daniel Stern, the late, great Bruno Kirby.
Yeah,
Daniel Stern, one of the greatest actors of his generation.
Yeah, obviously Home Alone, did the voiceover on The Wonder Years.
Rookie of the Year.
So there's this scene in the second one where Billy Crystal, I believe, sits. He ends up ultimately sitting on a cactus, but he thinks he got bit by
a snake. Yeah.
A snake. There's poison in there.
Yeah.
So Daniel Stern was going to suck the poison out from where, you know, from the spot he sat on the thing. Now, ultimately, it ended up not being that, but there's this line, you were going to, you know, So when you're in that type of environment, that's what friends do. I mean, you got to help each other out here. So, yeah, would I want that done? Of course. Would I do it to someone else? Yes, because that's what friends do. That's what friends do. Whether it's sucking the poison or doing number one. All right, 888-808, and I'm back to the volleyball.
How do we get on
that? I don't know. I'm all over the place. Welcome to the brain of Tommy Lugau. It's a deep, dark spot, and it's like Hotel California. Once you get in there, you don't get out. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. All right, a lot of topics discussed today. We got into Aaron Judge and why this is a legacy year for him. I think this is the best Yankee team he's been on, and he's got to bring home a championship this year. We also got into the Mets, how I feel like they are a postseason team. And on my assault on Halloween, and that there's stuff in the stores right now. There are Halloween stuff in the stores. There was stuff in July. And Christmas goes on too long, Halloween goes on too long, and Thanksgiving is sort of the middle child. So a lot to discuss here on Evan and Tiki, Loogie, and Lightning. Let's go to Frank in Bloomfield. What's up, Frankie?
What up, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Technically, I have a little bit of the thing with the Christmas lights. I have Christmas lights in my room that have been up for 2 years that I didn't ever turn it off. That's what? One.
But can anybody... Yeah. Know, hold on, Frank. Can anyone see the lights?
Right. Is it personal? That's just personal, right?
Yeah, that's my personal.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Fun. But my Christmas trees are still up in the basement, and they never come down.
There's
Santa Claus
sitting
in my basement.
A little mini one tree.
Right.
Nobody sees it, so it's
all good.
I'm Santa Claus, so I might come down a chimney and play football with you once in a while.
I like it.
talking about that one, so last year I was at a lounge down in Elizabeth, New Jersey, because, you know, I went out for the Halloween. And guess what? I was dressed like Santa Claus. I kid you not.
What?
At everybody. Yes, I went to a Halloween party on Halloween with my buddy who was dressed like a pimp, so he was pimping Santa.
It ain't easy, exactly.
But let me tell you, it was such a great time. I got cursed out by a guy that was dressed like Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah. He said to me, he goes, F you, it's my day. I said, man, this is
wow. We get a holiday fight over wow.
Jesus for Santa Claus.
Yeah, there's an image. And I know you went out with your boys to do a little damage. Right. So in honor of Sean, who's not here, and we're thinking about you, buddy, I'll do a dad joke here. So you had Santa and you had a pimp. Ho, ho, ho. Is that not from the Sean playbook? That guy could have said anything after that. You know Sean would have wanted delivered the ho, ho, ho joke. I mean, he absolutely would have done that.
I mean, bro, you got the pimp, you got Santa, you got Jesus. It sounds like a 1999 Attitude episode of Raw.
Or a joke, right? Like they walk into a bar or something like that. That's exactly what it sounded like.
What's the punchline?
Yeah, but that's why I have no... Because I was fighting with Gallo, who does a great job here. He hosts some shows. He works in the digital side here. And he's like, why are you hating on Halloween? I'm not hating on Halloween. He's like, Halloween doesn't get enough time. Sure does. Gets an entire month. Mm. I don't think it should get July.
It does.
It gets plenty of love.
And Thanksgiving gets about a week.
It does not even get a day, Halloween. Thanksgiving.
It doesn't get a full day, but it gets about a week leading up to it.
That's ridiculous.
Because you talk about what you're going to eat, who's hosting, who's doing X, Y, and Z, who's bringing the pie, yada, yada, yada. And then you got football. But it's just a week.
Yeah. And, well, it's going to get love here because we're going to have a month celebrating Thanksgiving. And, of course, the Giants play on Thanksgiving again. So we're going to celebrate that here on Evan and Tiki. We're going to give thanks. We're going to do the whole thing. A lot of pie, the whole deal. Let's go to Sharon in Montclair. What's up, Sharon?
Hey, Sharon.
Hey there, guys. Loogie, I really love your rants. They lighten up the afternoon, and I love the variety of topics.
Thank you. I love them, too. So we share a brand.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, good. We're on the same page on that. So... Going back to your Halloween merchandising.
Yes.
So I have a theory here. So a lot of people like to do retail therapy when they're not feeling like really in a good mood. They do a little retail therapy. They do a little shopping, cheers them up. And so collectively, I think that's what people are doing with Halloween. The world is not the nicest place these days.
So Sharon, so I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm glad you brought that point up. So that kind of leads into what I'm talking about.
It makes you feel good to spend money.
But why can't you just spend money on other stuff that have to do with summer, that have to do with August? I'm just saying everything should get its time in the sun, no pun intended. Halloween gets enough time. You could go spend your money somewhere else. You could go, it's summer, so there's stuff you could buy that is summer related, right? You got Labor Day coming up. So why do the other holidays have to jump the line? You could commercialize if you want. It makes people feel better. And I don't want to make this look, I'm having a lot of fun here with this, but I understand that Christmas is a time for people to be happy. A lot of people don't have necessarily the happiest of lives. It brings the joy out in America. I'm not suggesting, you know, get rid of it.
Right.
But what I'm saying is there's other holidays and there's other stuff to do and there's other stuff to bring joy to your life.
Yeah,
and,
but it's hard. It doesn't happen collectively. There's only a few holidays that they're everywhere. right? It's not
right. It's not an American holiday or religious or something. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the NFL wants President's Day to be an NFL holiday.
Well, the NFL wants every day,
right? But that's gonna happen. You know, when they go to 18 games, it's gonna be back week. It's gonna be President's Day,
so everybody has off Monday.
Super Bowl Sunday.
You don't want to hear that rant that I have on that one. You got time for that one? I mean, you know,
it's coming, dude. I know you have one. I'm just telling you, it's coming.
My thing on that is that, so people have been screaming about that for, I won't even get into the, no one works anymore and people work at home from Monday. I won't even do that. But so the Super Bowl ends, what time we figure on a yearly basis, TK?
10:30, 11. It's late.
All right. So you go to a Super Bowl party, right? You go, you have a good time. You drink, you eat, the whole deal, right? Mm-hmm. So I assume most people want the next day off because you're hungover.
Right. You don't want to wake up and have to think.
Yeah. But the game ends at 10:30. You're asleep by midnight. Yeah, I don't want to like tell all these stories here, but there were times where I used to go out and come to work with no sleep.
Yeah, but the challenge is people want, they drink all day. The Super Bowl, just like any kind of, really, like if there's a primetime game, forget Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, whatever it is, like, you're drinking so much of the day.
But aren't you doing that on a regular football Sunday? You're starting at 12, but you're drinking till midnight. So what makes the Super Bowl any different?
I don't know.
Because the casuals want the
I don't think
off.
People are drinking to midnight on a regular Sunday. I think they're drinking and they're day drinking. And then at some point, it's like, all right, it's dinner time. You're home. You're chilling. If you're watching a late game, you're casually watching a late game. I mean, you got to be a certain kind of like degenerate to start drinking for the 1 o'clock games and then be drinking Sunday night football.
No, right? That's
how dare you. I take offense
to you.
Yeah, you might be, even if you're nursing it, but we know like the bros, the fraternities, the football fans, the Sean Marashes of the world, even Loogie, like we're drinking all day. I think the Super Bowl thing, I hit on it here. It's the casuals that want the next day off. Mm. It's the people that don't really watch football that treat the party. What's the halftime show? What's the commercial? What's this, that, and the other? Those are the people that want the next day off. Well, guess what? You don't watch all year long. And us football fans that sit there every single Sunday, drink, have a good time, guess where we are Monday? Work! So why do you, when you parachute in, you need a holiday too? These are probably the same people that put their Christmas lights up in October. They want everything.
Of course
you can't
do.
Have that. But you're right, Teak. It's going that direction.
It definitely is.
Definitely going that direction. You know what?
It'll be interesting to see how it's viewed. Like, is this collectively a great thing, or is this Gavonish?
It is Gavonish, but the NFL, and it's going to push the limits, and we'll see, because there's a time in this country where...
But already are doing it, with the Christmas games and everything. Like, they're already doing it. They're already pushing the limits.
But does the NFL have a point where the bubble bursts? Because,
meaning it's too much football.
Yeah, meaning, like, boxing, horse racing, baseball used to be number one, and if we were doing sports talk radio in the 40s, and I told you this stuff would no longer be number one... People would have said, I'm nuts. So can the NFL ever get to a point where it's too much and they lose fans?
Well, I think with boxing, I think part of it became the cult of personality was too hard to develop, right? To develop develop a Mike Tyson of the world. Think how hard that is. Like, it just takes a lot of years and you better not be losing, right? You can't lose along the way and be like, all right, he's still the greatest that's up and coming. Right, you just have to keep winning and winning. Boxing
and you have
is
to have
hard.
Exciting, because Floyd is great, but his fights can be a little boring.
Very
because
boring.
He's a surgeon,
exactly.
And you don't hit him.
He's too technical.
Right.
And so, but now think about football. Football is, it's the team. So I know it's about like the individuals and the quarterback, but it's really the team that you're following.
Yeah.
And so it seems to have more lastability than some of these other individual sports. You know what I mean?
I do.
I think football actually has a chance if it... As long as it doesn't oversaturate, because it feels like it's getting there. But if it doesn't oversaturate, it could be number one for a long time, because it's number one by a lot.
By miles. And it obviously has to do with the violence of the sport,
mm-hmm.
the fact that it's only in theory once a week. Obviously, it's not, but for your team, you know what I mean? The fantasy, gambling, all that stuff.
It's not four games that you got to watch in a week, like with bets.
Right.
Mets or Yankees. You got to watch four games.
Yeah. And if you're like me, and I know Tiki the same way, and a lot of guys here, like, I love college football. I love the atmosphere. I love that all the games. So I love football like every day. I can't get enough of it. The only thing I think that can hurt it at some point, and I don't think it'll ever be this way, but if they go to touch. If it becomes touch football,
it's
there's no way.
It
there's
will
just
never,
no,
ever be that.
They can't, right?
But I mean, listen, me and Tiki are both soccer fans, Premier League fans.
Sure.
I think that there's potential for the NFL to just continue to try to grow out these days here. And much like the Premier League, mm-hmm. you may start seeing games on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, multiple games on Saturdays, weekly, not just at the end of the season when college football is done. I think there is potential for that to happen. And I think that's the oversaturation. Right. It's not necessarily just the Jets
that
playing two
bad.
Or three games a week.
That'll be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be bad.
You got a Tuesday night game with the Titans
and
the
Jaguars.
Well,
it'll hurt the product, too, because I hate Thursday night football. I'm not ready for football yet by Thursday. I think the games stink. I would do the Monday night doubleheader. I like get rid of the Thursday game. Do Monday night doubleheader. I just don't like the I'm not ready for it. I wake up on Thursday and I'm like,
yeah,
football?
And it's hard for the players. I wonder why it never was Friday.
And harder for the players. Why it wasn't Friday night? So there is some college football on Friday night. Not a lot. It's usually the lesser teams like Utah plays every Friday.
Yeah, but if you had one game, because that's all it is.
Which they're doing in week one this year, that Friday
night
game.
Yeah, they are.
So they're testing the waters.
I actually kind of forgot that.
Yeah, a lot of people have. I've brought that up to people here and they go, there's a Friday night game in Brazil? I'm like, yeah.
But if there was one, it's just one game. Friday feels like there's enough adequate enough. There's not enough recovery time for a Thursday night game because the away team is traveling on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And they were recovering on Monday. You practice a day and then you travel. Think about that. You recover on Monday because you play Sunday, recover on Monday, you practice Tuesday, you travel Wednesday. It's too soon.
And I'm sure it's bad for the safety of the players,
Why
too?
Do they never do Friday? That's what I don't understand.
I like that idea, too. Even Friday night, because it's the weekend. Yes. And it gives me that little appetizer on Friday night. Then if you are a college football fan, which I am, I'm locked in all day. And then I have my football on Sunday, and it ends on Monday night.
You wonder if they trust ratings, how that would ratings on a Friday night if people are going out.
But here's the reality with college football. College football is becoming, it's becoming minor league football, right? Or a separate
and you mean
kind
that in a good way, right?
Yes.
Like, because it kind of sounds like
a separate kind of professional football.
Yes.
I don't mean minor league.
Right.
A separate kind of professional football. Because, let's face it, these guys are getting paid now. I'm serious.
Well,
like, some of these guys are making.
You could argue they were coin. Always getting paid,
right.
But sure.
And the guys are staying in college to teach.
Hold on. Let's put it this way, Tommy. These guys are paying taxes now.
Yes.
On money.
Yes. It's on the
right? So it's a different kind of like professionalism.
There's
that's
almost
happening.
Free agency in college now with the transfer portal.
Yeah,
there's essentially free agency.
And so with college football and their TV partners want to make it this product, compete with it. If you're the league, compete with it. I promise you, whoever we put on Friday night is going to be better than whatever they put on Friday night, college football-wise.
I agree with that.
Right? So, and if they did that, it would make it so much more acceptable for players who hate playing on Thursday. Because again, you recover on Monday because you just got the crap beat out of you on Sunday. You practice Tuesday, and it's not even a practice. You're basically just walking around in your underwear, and then you travel on Wednesday. Like, how is that a week to prepare for?
No,
it's not.
And you get a bad quality of game.
Yes.
And
they're
like
always
I said,
bad.
Safety, maybe issues because guys aren't ready to go.
Yes.
I don't know if the injuries are up in Thursday night games. I haven't tracked it like that.
That's a good question.
But the quality for sure on Thursday night football is not good. Part of that also is everybody gets a Thursday night game, so you get some of the bad teams.
Right.
You brought up an interesting point there. Yes, on a Friday night, if you have a game, an NFL game versus a weaker college football game, it's fine. But obviously, I don't think this happens because at the end of the year, they do the Saturday games. College football is over.
It's over.
If you did.
College football is over late November or mid-November.
Yeah. You got the Army-Navy game, then obviously you have the bowl season, and there's a million bowl games. But Thanksgiving is where you get the Iron Bowl and you get everything, Michigan, Ohio State. So I wonder, just out of just curiosity, Saturday night, average football game as far as the opponents, not the Cowboys or the Giants. I'm talking just average teams. If you put that up against Alabama, LSU, in Death Valley, under the lights, that atmosphere, who would do better? I'm sure the NFL would, but I'd be curious, man.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Those big-time, under-the-light college football games are incredible.
Matt, they're unbelievable
to watch.
Yeah, I've called a bunch of them. They're unbelievable.
It feels
more exciting than some professional.
It feels personal.
Right.
It feels like this is more than football right here.
No, you're right.
This is
everybody
cares. Purist.
Everybody cares.
Yep.
You're not there because you're on an expense account.
Yes.
You're there because you really care.
I love it. I can't get enough of them. I'm a big football fan. So
now maybe this would be diving too deep into the weeds here, but maybe that Saturday game becomes like where they stick the London, the Germany, the Brazils.
Like
all
early,
those.
You mean? So like at 11 a.m.? Yeah,
yep, when college game day or whatever is wrapping up, that's when the game wraps up.
Exactly, and it kind of bleeds into those noon starts, you know, your Big Ten games and stuff like that.
Actually, that would be the better way to do it.
Right, because those early Sunday games
are on. Put the London games on Saturday, and it's an extra travel day for the team to get back. So they're traveling on game day.
Right.
And they basically just start their week over. Because for whatever reason, teams have stopped taking the bye week after the London game. They don't take the bye week. They play the next week. And they save their bye week for whenever it's more convenient.
Yeah. No, I like that. See, we're brainstorming here. I like these ideas. And the NFL probably likes that too because they want to spread it out. They want a game every single day. It's just about figuring out where to do it. And I'm with you. I don't like the early London time. I don't on Sundays. I just don't like getting up that early for football. I'm good from 1 till midnight. And then on Saturday morning, I wouldn't mind it. And Thursday night, I don't like. So, all right. So here we are. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Evan and Tiki, Lugie and Lightning here on the Fan. Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Not hating on Halloween. He's like, Halloween doesn't get enough time. Sure does. Gets an entire month. I don't think it should get July.
It does.
It gets plenty of love.
And Thanksgiving gets about a week.
It does not even get a day, Halloween. Thanksgiving.
It doesn't get a full day, but it gets about a week leading up to it.
That's ridiculous.
Because you talk about what you're going to eat, who's hosting, who's doing X, Y, and Z, who's bringing the pie, yada, yada, yada. And then you got football. But it's just a week.
Yeah. And, well, it's going to get love here because we're going to have a month celebrating Thanksgiving. And, of course, the Giants play on Thanksgiving again. So we're going to celebrate that here on Evan and Tiki. We're going to give thanks. We're going to do the whole thing. A lot of pie, the whole deal. Let's go to Sharon in Montclair. What's up, Sharon?
Hey, Sharon.
Hey there, guys. Lugie, I really love your rants. They lighten up the afternoon, and I love the variety of topics.
Thank you. I love them, too. So we share a
break. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, good. We're on the same page on that. So, Going back to your Halloween merchandising.
Yes.
So I have a theory here. So a lot of people like to do retail therapy when they're not feeling like really in a good mood. They do a little retail therapy. They do a little shopping, cheers them up. And so collectively, I think maybe that's what people are doing with Halloween. The world is not the nicest place these days.
So Sharon, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm glad you brought that point up. So that kind of leads into what I'm talking about.
It makes you feel good to spend money.
But why can't you just spend money on other stuff that have to do with summer, that have to do with August? I'm just saying everything should get its time in the sun, no pun intended. Halloween gets enough time. You could go spend your money somewhere else. You could go, it's summer, so there's stuff you could buy that is summer related, right? You got Labor Day coming up. So why do the other holidays have to jump the line? You could commercialize if you want. It makes people feel better. And I don't want to make this look, I'm having a lot of fun here with this, but I understand that Christmas is a time for people to be happy. A lot of people don't have necessarily the happiest of lives. It brings the joy out in America. I'm not suggesting, get rid of it.
Right.
But what I'm saying is there's other holidays and there's other stuff to do and there's other stuff to bring joy to your life.
Yeah,
and
but it's hard. It doesn't happen collectively. There's only a few holidays that they're everywhere, right? It's not
right. It's not an American holiday or religious or something. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the NFL wants President's Day to be an NFL holiday.
Well, the NFL wants every day,
right? But that's gonna happen. When they go to 18 games, it's gonna be back week. It's gonna be President's Day.
So everybody has off Monday.
Super Bowl Sunday.
You don't want to hear that rant that I have on that one. You got time for that one? I mean, you know
it's
what?
It's coming, dude. I know you have one. I'm just telling you, it's coming.
My thing on that is that, so people have been screaming about that for, I won't even get into the, oh, no one works anymore, and people work at home from Monday. I won't even do that. But, so the Super Bowl ends, what time, we figure, on a yearly basis, Teak?
10:30,
yeah,
11.
10:30.
It's late.
All right, so you go to a Super Bowl party, right? You go, you have a good time, you drink, you eat, the whole deal, right? Mm-hmm. So, I assume most people want the next day off because you're hungover.
Right. You don't want to wake up and have to think.
Yeah. But the game ends at 10:30. You're asleep by midnight. Yeah, and I don't want to like tell all these stories here, but there were times where I used to go out and come to work with no sleep.
Yeah, but the challenge is people want, they drink all day. The Super Bowl, just like any kind of, really, like if there's a primetime game, forget Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, whatever it is, like, you're drinking so much of the day.
But aren't you doing that on a regular football Sunday? You're starting at 12, you're drinking till midnight. So what makes the Super Bowl any different?
I don't know.
Because the casuals want the
I don't think
off.
People are drinking to midnight on a regular Sunday. I think they're drinking and they're day drinking. And then at some point, it's like, all right, it's dinner time. You're home. You're chilling. If you're watching a late game, you're casually watching a late game. I mean, you got to be a certain kind of like degenerate to start drinking for the 1 o'clock games and then be drinking Sunday night football.
No, right?
How dare you? I take offense.
Yeah, you might be, even if you're nursing it, but we know like the bros, the fraternities, the football fans, the Sean Marashes of the world, even Loogie, like we're drinking all day. I think the Super Bowl thing, I hit on it here. It's the casuals that want the next day off. Mm. It's the people that don't really watch football that treat the party. What's the halftime show? What's the commercial? What's this, that, and the other? Those are the people that want the next day off. Well, guess what? You don't watch all year long. And us football fans that sit there every single Sunday, drink, have a good time, guess where we are Monday? Work! So why do you, when you parachute in, you need a holiday too? These are probably the same people that put their Christmas lights up in October. They want everything.
Of course
you can't have that. But you're right, Teak. It's going that direction.
It definitely is.
Definitely going that direction. You know what?
It'll be interesting to see how it's viewed. Like, is this collectively a great thing, or is this Gavonish?
It is Gavonish, but the NFL, and it's going to push the limits, and we'll see, because there's a time in this country where...
But they already are doing it with the Christmas games and everything. Like, they're already doing it. They're already pushing the limits.
But does the NFL have a point where the bubble bursts? Because,
it's too much football.
Yeah, meaning, like, boxing, horse racing, baseball used to be number one, and if we were doing sports talk radio in the 40s, and I told you this stuff would no longer be number one... People would have said I'm nuts. So can the NFL ever get to a point where it's too much and they lose fans?
Well, I think with boxing, I think part of it became the cult of personality was too hard to develop, right? To develop a Mike Tyson of the world. Think how hard that is. Like it just takes a lot of years and you better not be losing, right? You can't lose along the way and be like, all right, he's still the greatest that's up and coming. Right, you just have to keep winning and winning. Boxing
and you have
is
to have
hard.
Exciting because Floyd is great, but his fights can be a little boring.
Very
because
boring.
He's a surgeon exactly. And you don't hit him.
He's too technical.
Right.
And so, but now think about football. Football is it's the team. So I know it's about like the individuals and the quarterback, but it's really the team that you're following. And
yeah.
So it seems to have more lastability than some of these other individual sports. You know what I mean?
I do.
I think football actually has a chance if it. As long as it doesn't oversaturate, because it feels like it's getting there. But if it doesn't oversaturate, it could be number one for a long time. Because it's number one by a lot.
Oh,
right now.
By miles, and it obviously has to do with the violence of the sport, the fact that it's only in theory once a week. Obviously, it's not, but for your team, you know what I mean. The fantasy, gambling, all that stuff.
It's not four games that you got to watch in a week.
Yeah,
like with bets.
Right.
Mets or Yankees. You got to watch four games.
Yeah, and if you're like me, and I know Teak the same way, and a lot of guys here, like, I love college football. I love the atmosphere. I love that all the games. So I love football, like, every day. I can't get enough of it. The only thing I think that can hurt it at some point, and I don't think it'll ever be this way, but if they go to touch. If it becomes touch football.
It's never going to be.
There's no way. Right?
It will never, ever be that.
They can't, right?
But, I mean, listen. Me and Teak are both soccer fans, Premier League fans.
Sure.
I think that there's potential for the NFL to just continue to try to grow out these days here. And much like the Premier League, you may start seeing games on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, multiple games on Saturdays, weekly, not just at the end of the season when college football is done. I think there is potential for that to happen, and I think that's the oversaturation. Right. It's not necessarily just the Jets playing two or three games a week.
That'll be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be bad.
You got a Tuesday night game with the Titans and the Jaguars.
It'll hurt the product, too, because I hate Thursday night football. I'm not ready for football yet by Thursday. I think the games stink. I would do the Monday night doubleheader. I like get rid of the Thursday game. Do Monday night doubleheader. I just don't like the I'm not ready for it. I wake up on Thursday and I'm like,
yeah.
Football?
And it's hard for the players. I wonder why it never was Friday.
And harder for the players. Why it wasn't Friday night? So there is some college football on Friday night. Not a lot. It's usually the lesser teams, like Utah plays every Friday.
Yeah, but if you had one game, because that's all it is.
Which they're doing in week one this year, that Friday night game.
Yeah, they are.
So they're testing the waters.
I actually kind of forgot that.
Yeah, a lot of people have. I've brought that up to people here, and they go, there's a Friday night game in Brazil? I'm like, yeah.
But if there was one, it's just one game. Friday feels like there's enough adequate enough. There's not enough recovery time for a Thursday night game. Because the away team is traveling on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And they were recovering on Monday. You practice a day, and then you travel. Think about that. You recover on Monday because you play Sunday, recover on Monday, you practice Tuesday, you travel Wednesday. It's too soon.
And I'm sure it's bad for the safety of the players,
too. Why do they never do Friday? That's what I don't understand.
I like that idea, too. Even Friday night, because it's the weekend. Yes. And it gives me that little appetizer on Friday night. Then if you are a college football fan, which I am, I'm locked in all day. And then I have my football on Sunday, and it ends on Monday night.
You wonder if they trust ratings, how that would ratings on a Friday night if people are going out.
But here's the reality with college football. College football is becoming, it's becoming minor league football, right? Or a separate
kind. And you mean that in a good way, right?
Yes.
Because it kind of sounds like
a separate kind of professional football.
Yes.
I don't mean minor league.
Right.
A separate kind of professional football. Because, let's face it, these guys are getting paid now. I'm serious. Well, some of these guys are making.
You could argue they were always getting paid,
right.
But sure.
And the guys are staying in college.
Hold on. Let's put it this way, Tommy. These guys are paying taxes now.
Yes.
On money.
Yes. Tony, right?
So it's a different kind of like professionalism.
There's
that's
almost
happening.
Free agency in college now with the transfer portal. Yeah, there's essentially free agency.
And so with the college football and their TV partners want to make it this product, compete with it. If you're the league, compete with it. I promise you, whoever we put on Friday night is going to be better than whatever they put on Friday night, college football-wise.
I agree with that.
Right? So, and if they did that, it would make it so much more acceptable for players who hate playing on Thursday. Because again, you recover on Monday because you just got the crap beat out of you on Sunday. You practice Tuesday, and it's not even a practice. You're basically just walking around in your underwear, and then you travel on Wednesday. Like, how is that a week to prepare for?
No,
a game?
It's
not.
And you get a bad quality of game.
Yes.
And like I said,
always bad.
Safety, maybe issues because guys aren't ready to go.
Yes.
I don't know if the injuries are up in Thursday night games. I haven't tracked it like that.
That's a good question.
But the quality for sure on Thursday night football is not good. Part of that also is everybody gets a Thursday night game, so you get some of the bad teams.
Right.
You brought up an interesting point there. Yes, on a Friday night, if you have a game, an NFL game versus a weaker college football game, it's fine. But obviously, I don't think this happens because at the end of the year, they do the Saturday games. College football is over.
It's over.
If you did.
College football is over late November or mid-November.
Yeah. You got the Army-Navy game, then obviously you have the bowl season, and there's a million bowl games. But Thanksgiving is where you get the Iron Bowl and you get everything, Michigan, Ohio State. So I wonder, just curiosity, Saturday night, average football game as far as the opponents, not the Cowboys or the Giants. I'm talking just average teams. If you put that up against Alabama, LSU, in Death Valley, under the lights, that atmosphere, who would do better? I'm sure the NFL would, but I'd be curious, man.
I don't know.
Because
that's a good question.
Those big-time, under-the-light college football games are incredible.
Matt, they're unbelievable
to watch.
Yeah, I've called a bunch of them. They're unbelievable.
It feels
more exciting than some professional.
It feels personal.
Right.
It feels like this is more than football right here.
No, you're right.
This is
because everybody cares.
Purist.
Everybody cares.
Yep.
You're not there because you're on an expense account.
Yes.
You're there because you really care.
I love it. I can't get enough of them. I'm a big football fan. So
maybe this would be diving too deep into the weeds here, but maybe that Saturday game becomes like where they stick the London, the Germany, the Brazils,
like
all
early,
those.
You mean? So like at 11 a.m.?
When college game day or whatever is wrapping up, that's when the game wraps up.
Exactly, and it kind of bleeds into those noon starts, you know, your Big Ten games and stuff like that.
Actually, that would be the better way to do it.
Right, because those early Sunday games are like,
put the London games on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and it's an extra travel day for the team to get back. So they're traveling on game day.
Right.
Then they basically just start their week over. Because for whatever reason, teams have stopped taking the bye week after the London game. They don't take the bye week. They play the next week. And they save their bye week for whenever it's more convenient.
Yeah. No, I like that. See, we're brainstorming here. I like these ideas. And the NFL probably likes that too because they want to spread it out. They want a game every single day. It's just about figuring out where to do it. And I'm with you. I don't like the early London time. I don't on Sundays. I just don't like getting up that early for football. I'm good from 1 till midnight. And then on Saturday morning, I wouldn't mind it. And Thursday night, I don't like. So, all right. So here we are. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Evan and Tiki, Lugie and Lightning here on the Fan. Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.